you married folks are going to have to share tonight. We're running short. I need to run out and run off some more. We have increased our number. I've noticed when I was running off these sheets from the beginning, it takes about twice as many now to run off as we did when we started. I also found out that they have put on some of the maps that we've been looking at on PowerPoint. So I'm going to try to get us some maps where we'll have those on PowerPoint. I still want to run some off because the maps are good to fold up, put in your Bibles to kind of help you see where we are when we go looking from Moab and Edom and places like that as we come through this divided kingdom. But I wanted to take, before we start in 2 Chronicles tonight, want to kind of look at the charts once again, and you may want to take some notes because we're getting to the point that we're going to start bringing in the minor prophets and the major prophets. And if you want to take a pen and pencil and kind of jot the location of each one, for example, under Israel, Jeroboam 2, if you'll notice on your map, Jonah started prophesying during that span of time. And he was, of course, prophesying to Assyria, Nineveh. At the same span of time, during Jeroboam 2's life, Amos and Hosea begins their prophecy during that span of time. Now, Amos and Hosea, of course, are prophesying to Israel. The same span of time also brings in under Judah, Jotham. If you notice, the king Jotham, who reigned 16 years and was a good king, at the end of Uzziah and at the beginning of Jotham, Isaiah begins his prophecy. And then, of course, you've got Micah. All of those prophets prophesied between Jotham's reign and Hezekiah's reign. The reason that I gave you the last chart that we'll be looking at in this study of the divided kingdom is because it has on it at the top Hezekiah. I want to go as far as I can go tonight, and possibly we'll be able to start with Hezekiah after the gospel meeting, as we also start a study on the minor prophet Amos. So if you have the opportunity in the next week or so, begin reading especially the prophet Amos. And then later on, we're going to look at Hosea, and we're also begin to look at Isaiah. We're going to have to spend some time on Isaiah because it's a very lengthy book. We're going to have to take it apart. So what we'll do is divide that book up, and we'll just kind of deviate and get away from this chart on minor prophets when we start our study in the book of Isaiah. Now remember, if you will, these kings that reigned under Israel and under Judah are quickly coming to an end. Have you noticed the kings in Israel? How many there's left when you start on the last page, page 3? How many is it?
One.
You know why? They're going into captivity first. You know, we've been talking about that all along. Now, Isaiah, when he begins to prophesied during the reign of Hezekiah, Assyria is beginning to start their movement to overthrow a lot of the countries round about. When Jonah went up and prophesied to Assyria, Nineveh, they were going through a weak period of time militarily. another kingdom to in Assyria, and they really began to build their armies up, and they start taking these little countries all around them. And the first country that they're going to take that has to do with our state is Israel. They're going to start gobbling up those 10 tribes that is listed under Israel. And then later on, Isaiah is going to start prophesying to Judah to try to permit them and help them to see that they need to repent, or else they're going into captivity also. So in reality, the reason all of these prophets are now playing a major factor in our study is because they're trying to stem the apostasy that's going to take place because of their disobedience. They're trying to bring repentance back. God is sending these prophets out to try to get them to prophesy, to give them another chance, another chance, another chance to repent. Now, notice also, if you will, you see the fall of Samaria on chapter 5. You see how many kings are still listed on page 5 under Judah. You know, after Hezekiah, you still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 more kings. So you can kind of see the fall of Jerusalem is 586 B.C. The fall of Samaria is 729 B.C. So you can see that they lasted almost 200 years longer than did Israel. Now remember, if you will, when we said we were going to start this study of the divided kingdom, that we were going to be looking at 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles together. Have you noticed anything particular about 2 Chronicles and how it applies to Israel? When you get a chance, pull out your three charts and you look at the number of times 2 Chronicles is mentioned under Israel. And one of the reasons you're going to see as to why Chronicles doesn't mention king after king after king after king under Israel is because, remember, if you will, the Chronicles is really carrying the history of the temple, their worship, and what's going on in Israel. They're not worshiping correctly. They're not in the temple. So you can see why they omit so many of the kings, because there's nothing to say about them from a spiritual standpoint that would give us any information as to how they worshiped and what they did. Remember, they started out on the wrong foot from the very beginning under Jeroboam, when they changed the two places of worship and built the two golden calves. So you can see from the very beginning they deviated from God's plan of worship, and they were not included under the Chronicles many, many times. But that's the reason you're going to see that Chronicles is omitted under Israel, as opposed to how many times it's mentioned in Judah. Now remember, if you will, when we were looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, chapters 24 and 25 deals with the king Joash. Remember, if you will, Joash was the young king that was hid as a baby in the temple by Jedidiah and his wife. When he becomes 7 years old, they made him king, and Athaliah was put to death. And remember, if you will, we talked about Joash, how he started out good, because basically Jedidiah the priest was kind of running the show. Whatever Jedidiah suggested, the king went along with it. But when we read about Jedidiah getting old and dying, then Joash listens to the people round about him, and he put to death Joash's son, Zechariah the prophet. So you can kind of see in chapters 24 and 25, notice what it says in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Jedidiah waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jedidiah came the princes of Judah, made obedience to the king, then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord their God, served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. He sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jedidiah the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress you the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper because you have forsaken the Lord, and he hath forsaken you? And they conspired against him and stoned him to death. Now that's really a big thank you for the son whose dad had kept Joash alive. But you can see how the influence of the people round about him influenced him in the latter days of his kinship. And that's the reason you see him listed on your chart as an evil king. He started out good, ended bad. Now, when you pick up in chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles, you see where his son, Amaziah, comes into the picture. It says in verse 2 of chapter 25 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants and killed the king his father, but he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses. Now does anybody remember in reading as to why he was referred to as good but not with a perfect heart?
Didn't have a heart
that
David had.
Yeah. Okay. That's absolutely correct. What was it that caused in him to have a heart that was good but not as good as David's though?
Didn't he allow some idols or something?
Absolutely. If you'll remember, in the latter part of 2 Chronicles chapter 25, he goes to battle against the Edomites. And he's victorious in the battle and brings back their gods and sits down and exalts their gods and worships their God. And look at the question asked in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 25. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of your hand? That's a good, solid question, is it not? So you can see why he was referred to as a good king, but not like his father, David. Now notice, if you will, when you get into chapter 26, you see where his son comes into the picture. Now notice what it says here. It says, Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Verse 3 says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years. Verse 5, it says, He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall at Gath. Verse 7, it says, God helped him against the Philistines. In verse 8, it says, the Ammonites gave gifts to him. It talks about him building towers in Jerusalem. Talks about how he dug wells for the cattle. Verse 13 says, under their hand was an army of 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingers and bows and slings to cast stone. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. We're going to stop right there. Remember we said we always look for words like but. We're going to see the but in just a few moments. But. Now, during this span of time, is that section of time that we talked about when Jonah was crying out and prophesying to Nineveh. Remember we said Nineveh was not doing too well politically, nor was they doing too well with their armies and things of that nature. Well, the surrounding countries did good while Assyria was doing bad. While Assyria was weak, the other countries were building themselves up. And of course, as long as God's kings were being obedient to God under Judah, they were going to prosper and they were going to be blessed anyway. We're going to see that under Hezekiah. Hezekiah is going to reign as king over Judah when Assyria is at the top of her strength. And Assyria is going to come in and they're going to take Israel captive. And they're going to try to take Judah captive, but they're not going to prevail over Hezekiah. We went to a museum over in Memphis, Biblical Museum. And they had a lot of this material that we've been studying on walls all through that museum. And it had some information that history had written that some of these Assyrian kings wrote during that period of time. And it's not mentioned in the Bible, but an Assyrian king wrote, he said, I've got Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. So you see, they were right at the brink of not only overthrowing Israel, they were at the brink of overthrowing Judah as well. And because of Hezekiah's faithfulness, he prevailed and they held on another 150, 200 years because of the faithfulness of the kings there. When they just completely rebelled, then Isaiah's going to say, no hope. Y'all got to go, both Judah and Israel. And that's how our kings and our divided kingdom is going to wind up. Look at verse 16 again. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Why was this so bad? He wants to worship in the temple. Absolutely. That was the duty of the priest, and the king says, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I'm coming into the temple and I'm going to offer sacrifices to God and I'm going to do it myself. Does anybody remember what happened to this king? He got leprosy. And of course they had to get him out of the temple and repurify the temple again because of the leprosy that came all on his head. He winds up dying of this leprosy. Now, you notice in chapter 27 of 2 Chronicles, we hit the next king, Jotham. Now remember, if you will, this is going to be the second king that goes by the name of No, I'm wrong. Yeah, of Jotham. Jotham is going to be a son that follows in the lineage of Uzziah. Jotham picks up, he reigns 16 years, and he does good. It says he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2 says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord on the wall of Ophel. He built much. Says in verse 5, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. The children of Ammon gave him same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, 10,000 barley. And it says in verse 6, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. It says in verse 9, Jotham slept with his fathers and buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Isn't it amazing how you go from a bad king and then you can have a good king, and then you can have a good king and look at Ahaz, he's evil. And he reigned 16 years.
He must not live very long.
Do what now?
He must not live very long. Didn't he say 20?
Yeah.
And then he was only...
Short reign, he was.
You didn't say how old he was when he died.
Well, 36 years, 16 years of rule.
Yeah, he wasn't an old man by any stretch of the imagination. That's right. Now notice, if you will, it says Ahaz was 20 years old, and he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Isn't it amazing how they kind of separate things? All of the kings of Israel were evil, and who got the credit? Jeroboam, who got it all started. Now, yes.
Most of them go back after the idol of Baal.
Yeah.
What was important about him?
Well, he was just... I guess it would be kind of like picking the biggest denominational group of our day, and it's just a privilege to work and worship with those people. Balaam was the god among several countries, and there was a female god that went with the Baal god, and I think her name was Astron. So a lot of times they would take a boat. They take a male god and they take a female god.
Basically popularity contest.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets credit, though he is a king in Judah, of acting like the kings of Israel. And it says he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molten images for Baal. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of Hinnom, burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and in the hills and under every green tree. What do you think that means? Everywhere. I mean, he put them everywhere. And he worshiped them everywhere. And look what it says in verse 5. Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. Now remember when we were looking at the map, the king of Syria, or Syria, is that landmass between Israel and Assyria. So you can see right now, as the Assyrian armies are not as strong as they once were, Syria is able to build up an army. Edom is able to build up some armies. And they're able to be successful. And God allowed them to come in and take, you know, take over. And then, of course, when you leave Ahaz, you come into Hezekiah. And that's where we wanted to get to tonight in our study. And we'll kind of pull to a close in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, because notice, if you will, when you start off in chapter 29, you come into the life of Hezekiah. And if you'll notice on the chart, Hezekiah lived 29 years and he was a good king. And there's we want to kind of talk about him some, spend a little time with him. But notice, if you will, as we close out chapter 28, it says in verse 9, a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. He went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and you have slain them in a rage that reacheth up to heaven. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem from bondmen and bondwomen, but are there not with you, even with us, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again. In other words, he's sending the prophet to Syria, just like he sent Judah to Assyria. But this time he said, and look, it was because of Jehovah God, and he was upset with Judah that he allowed you to come in, and now you're mistreating my people. And, you know, you need to correct that. Notice, if you will, it says in verse 16, and at that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. Now you see Assyria is beginning to build back this landmass. So Ahaz says, okay, I'm going to go up here and get Assyria to help me and see if we can overthrow Syria. And verse 19 says, the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And it mentions the king of Assyria that is reigning now of Assyria, that he goes to and tries to make a pact with him, but you learn he took his money, but he didn't have it. And so we're fixing to see unto Hezekiah now. After the meeting's over, we come back, read about Hezekiah, and read, if you can, about Amos, the prophet. We want to talk about Amos and about Hezekiah when we come back.